Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The answer.
Happy Easter to all you gearheads out there and all you motorsport fans, and especially Brittany. You look like an Easter egg.
I did kind of dress in those colors.
You did kind of go Easter eggish on us.
Yeah.
And you have a very, very special guest with us today.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about him first. Let's pay some bills. Hey, folks, if you got a little grocery store, liquor store, maybe you're having trouble with a cashier. You know, labor costs are getting totally ridiculous. They're still not high enough to buy an electric car, but I digress. But if you're having trouble keeping your cashiers, especially if you have a little, like a liquor store, grocery store, well, go with the big dogs. Go with the same guys like Walmart, Home Depot, Costco, self-checkout. Some people like it, some people don't, but it's the only way to fly. So my recommendation would be to give these guys a call at 1-800-540-2149. Have Jeff and Mark come out, take a look at your facility, and if it fits, you're not going to spend any more than you would if you bought a cashier. That's right. Jeff and Mark will give you over 150 years experience with the crew they have, 7 day a week, 24-hour day. 800-540-2149. How can you beat it? And we really want to shout out Black Forest Motorsports. If you have a Porsche, BMW, Mini Cooper, yeah, they are a service center. They've been doing it for over 40 years. It's a good dealer alternative. If you want to go racing, that's a possibility too, because they have won more races, enduros, and autocrosses than you can shake a stick at. So check them out at blackforestmotorsports.com. Blackforest.com, blackforest.com. Mr. Larson, how are you today, sir?
Well, thank you. I'm fine. I've got some...
Pull that microphone just a little bit closer to you. Pull the whole thing. Just
like that. Okay.
There you go. Now you can relax and kick back and enjoy it. There we go.
Well, I'm fine. I got some eggs this morning, so I'm... Got the Easter egg
system out of your system.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you? Did you get any eggs?
I went out to Descanso Town Hall and had some breakfast, but no Easter egg hunt for me.
No Easter egg hunt for you.
No.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I got Laura. We got a living legend with
us.
Yes,
we do.
I actually drove by. Okay, I'm going to tell you the secret, Lars. So I didn't get to do my usual introduction
for the
listeners.
Go for it.
Just to put into perspective of you truly are a living legend. And I'm hoping by the end of this hour that I know that the motorcycle enthusiasts understand that Lars Larson is the man.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we have listeners that are have grown up and really live in the car
mm-hmm.
world. And so maybe by the end of this hour, they can have a true understanding of this living legend, pioneer in motocross. You can find him in the AMA Hall of Fame. He's in many museums. His gear, motorcycle replicas in museums. Accolades go on and on. My two favorites, I had to narrow it down to the list of many accolades,
mm-hmm.
that he has raced in 7 different decades and in 17, I believe, 6 day races.
Events.
Yeah, and I hope that today we can maybe have a greater understanding of what a 6 day event is, because in the next coming months we're going to have 2 more people that are in that world as well.
Yeah. And he still races.
Yeah,
at the tender age of
going on 82.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're saying, "Oh, I sure would like to race.
Yeah, I'm too old.
But I'm too old. I don't think I could make it." Yes, you can.
Yeah. Just keep picking weeds and it'll keep you
exactly.
young, because that's what Lars and I were doing yesterday.
So, Lars, let me ask you this. I mean, do you have an exercise program?
That's
I mean, do
question.
You work out for like 12 hours a day so that you can race at the age of 81?
7 days a week.
You do work out?
No, I'm lying.
Well, picking weeds yesterday.
Yeah, that wasn't his idea.
I use old conditions, so to speak.
But you do have a program that you go through pretty much every day, every other day.
No, I don't. No. Not anymore.
Because if you did it once, you wouldn't be able to do it the next day.
Exactly.
Do you walk the neighborhood?
I used to, but my knees are kind of bad, so
But you still race.
I keep doing excuses for not training or anything.
Lars.
But you still race.
Yeah, we do.
You still win.
He's a factory rider.
I don't win anymore.
You don't win anymore?
No, because, you know.
Yeah, you got to throw your body to the wind if you're going to win.
No, but my competition are 15, 20 years younger, so... You know, I let him go and I ride my pace, and that's
so you
fine.
Just ride to have fun.
Okay, don't be too humble. Don't you have 4 vet championships?
Well,
no, I have 5.
Oh, sorry. Okay, great. So, even better.
The teacher
my
has
point.
Been schooled.
I missed one. I thought you got one in the 60 when you were 62.
Okay, so you're not
70?
Winning every race, right, but you're slipping a few championships in there.
Yeah, I the last one was in November last year in the 80 class.
Oh, yeah. I think it's my
Oh, they one. Have an 80 class?
Yeah.
How many in that?
Well, there wasn't any. There was 9 people, but I only saw one. I don't know whether they were so far behind or if they didn't. I don't know.
They're still out there racing,
they
right,
were,
Lars?
They were,
gosh.
Yeah.
So where do you live?
Here in San Diego since 1967. I came here in September.
And got hooked.
He lives 4 miles from me.
We need to put him on KUSI.
Well, in 6 months, we can do that.
We can do that in six months?
But I'm surprised you haven't. Because his titanium replica's gone, right? I got to see it just before it got shipped off to somewhere.
Yeah, that's it's gone.
Did you sell it or go to an museum?
To a museum in St. Louis.
Okay, but at least you didn't sell it.
No, you don't.
You can't sell them. Yeah. It's easier to sell your family.
Yeah.
Ouch. Well, he has a wonderful wife and children.
Ask him.
Ouch.
I'm telling you. Well, it's just like my wife. I have a very rare 82 Toyota Supra. It belongs to her. Looks brand new. So I was going to donate it to the Toyota Museum until I heard this sniffling in the background.
Oh, Michelle.
And I looked over and she's crying.
Baby?
And I go, what? I don't want to sell. I'm not selling it. I'm going to give it to the museum. So that, since she did that, because I'm not making any money on it, you're just going to give
That's
it away?
Double whammy.
I know. So I stopped that. So I don't do that anymore.
No, it was nice. The week before he was shipping it off, he contacted me and said,
you want to come see this thing?
Yeah, I said, I'm bringing my dad.
Did he let you ride it?
Oh, no, there was not doing that. He pointed out everything.
I bet it's rideable,
though. It was awesome. Does it fire up?
Of course.
No, I never started it.
Oh, after you finished it?
Yeah. Because the fact that today's gasoline, you know, if you get gasoline into the carburetor and everything,
it's just going to sit there.
My intention was that hopefully it would get into a museum.
Right.
And
why St. Louis?
Oh, long story short, second or third home away from home. I came here in 67 to the United States.
Yeah.
Planned on just 1 year, by the way.
Of course.
The family Mungenest, Dave Mungenest, was a 6 days rider.
Yeah, I know.
And they took me in several times. I stayed with them. Mm-hmm. And I had stayed with Mr. Penton back in Cleveland.
Wow.
And Leroy Winters back in Arkansas. Those were the 3 places that I kind of felt, you know, hey, this is a home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was...
A long way from home.
Yeah, I was a long ways from home, and I didn't speak the language.
Really?
I still don't, but anyway...
No, you do very well.
But back then, it was cackle, cackle, cackle all day long.
Jeez. That's crazy. All right, let's take a break. Is anybody from Verona calling in?
Neither of them said they were, just to remind them that...
Anybody on the line?
Weekend.
All right, cool. We'll come back more with Mr. Lars.
The old Swede.
The old Swede. Right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
As a former congressman and the ranking member on the Judiciary Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives, Doug Collins knows what it means to fight for what he believes. And on every episode of the Doug Collins Podcast, he'll explore all topics, from politics to life advice, and blend them together for a well-rounded discussion that you can use to get the most out of your life. The Doug Collins Podcast. Subscribe today on Apple, Google, Spotify, and at SalemPodcastNetwork.com. The Answer San Diego has gone interactive. Download our free app to get special offers, deals, and more than just status updates and pictures of cats from your smartphone. Did you hear something that you want to weigh in on? Download the free The Answer app to instantly call or email the station straight from your mobile device. Download our free app today. The Answer San Diego, the best conservative coverage in San Diego.
Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. 1595 East Main Street. In fact, they did a nice thing. They brought the used car department from Santee over to the dealership, so everything is right there. One-stop shop, plus the service department will work on any and everybody's vehicles. It is just truly a family operation. You need to go down, take a look. Inventory is rocking. They got Broncos, they've got Lightnings, they've got Mustangs. They have got it all. In fact, they've got a serious 1,000 horsepower Mustang sitting on the showroom floor.
Wow, what?
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
That caught my ear.
Mm-hmm. So take a run over. Phone number is super easy, 866-937-1607. Got Lars Larson in the house and the Teach.
Yes. Who's going to take the reins from you if you don't mind?
I'm gone.
Okay, sorry.
I'm done.
I just, because it's the Verona segment, I just wanted to give a shout out. It looks like we are going to have practice on Friday coming up.
I knew you were going to say it. On Friday?
Yeah, although there's a dabble. I've heard Mark Mathis said rain on Thursday and then no rain and then rain and then back to no rain. But as of now, practice on Friday and then on Saturday, April 15th, the Greg Smith Memorial. They're running IMCA Modified, IMCA Sport Mods, IMCA Sport Compacts, IMCA Stock Cars and Street Stocks, the Pony Stocks, Pure Stocks, Mini Dwarfs, and Junior Sprints. David, we just happen to not, that's one of the few we're not on. So opening day is still not there for me.
What do you mean?
Yeah, Dwarfs aren't running this because they had us on the first one.
Oh, they're not running on the 15th?
Yeah. But practice, so I'm probably going to head to practice. That'll be good. It's
well, you
got
to get out there and stretch your legs.
So Verona should be running the new opening day.
Yeah, let's hope.
And a reminder, Greg Smith Memorial. So,
do you see how green that track is?
Yeah. I think they posted this time last year, photo against a current photo.
I'm thinking, whoa, that looks like a resort. Yeah, I mean, it's so green.
Nice. And they were out working again yesterday, I think.
They have to. Not that they're behind. It's just a Mother Nature.
It's hard to keep up
Mother Nature got ahead.
Yeah. Lars and I were picking weeds yesterday.
Oh, you got the track?
Pardon? No. At our own homes. He has a rose garden with a Husqvarna that's just, it's like simulating a crash and it falling apart. He calls it his rose garden. So he was clearing that out and I was clearing
out my own. A rose suggestion for you. Next time you get a chance, go buy a repair shop that does brakes and take a coffee can.
Oh.
And ask them if they'll give you the remnants of when you turn a rotor and you cut the rotors, that iron goes into that tub. Then they have to find out some way to biodegradably get rid of it, get a can of it, and then about once a month just put a tablespoon at the base of your roses because they love iron.
Love iron.
Had you ever heard that before?
So, listeners, Lars is just staring at him.
Trust me. It'll your roses... And what's your favorite rose?
Well, I think you misunderstood the young lady here by my side.
Yeah.
Oh, the roses.
The rose, my rose garden.
That's
it's
what
a,
the stair is.
It's a Husqvarna that is.
Oh!
There are no roses.
It dug into the dirt.
So there's no roses.
No.
That's how he tricked me out to his rose garden when I first met him, and I went to his house.
See, I got all excited about roses.
So did I. He's like, "You want to see my rose garden?" And he takes me out, and it's a Husqvarna that's falling.
Stuffed in the dirt.
Yeah, it's like he crashed. Do you even have gear out there?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
I built two jumps. And in the second jump, the bike is drilled into the ground. And further out, you see my boots and pants sticking out of the ground.
So
that's my rose
garden.
So
we have a comedian in the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely, when I asked if he wanted me to pick him up today for the interview.
Yeah, I know.
If I ever turned down a woman in a Mustang,
that's
I must
right.
be dead. Yes, he's got some humor. I wanted also for our listeners to know, we were kept talking about this car or this motorcycle, this replica, museums, etc. It's the infamous Titanium, and it was ridden only for a year, right, in 1971, and then it was outlawed. It was too fast.
It was only ridden for two summer months,
and
then it was outlawed.
What did they outlaw it for?
Watch out, he's still bitter about this.
In my opinion, which let's not get into that part, but they said... it's too expensive. It's too brittle. Titanium is too brittle. People don't know how to work on titanium. All kinds of excuses. And my first thing was, you know, don't tell me about the cost of it because of the fact that what about the guy that comes in a big motorhome with his bike and he has a new tire put on by a mechanic every time he rolls up to the... So don't give me that.
And he has a crew of 37.
Exactly.
And
instead of you and maybe three guys.
Yeah, or try by myself.
Well, I was trying to be polite.
Yeah.
But no, you're absolutely right. Now, but see, you know, in their world, it's the unfair advantage.
Yeah. I think they couldn't nail it. They couldn't say what was unfair, but didn't you win four of the six races? So something had to be.
That might have had something to do with it.
So I think that, yes. And was that your idea? It was a titanium frame, right?
There was a guy that was in the titanium business working up in Los Angeles that had heard about us through some motorcycle
Who's
dealers.
Who's us that you're talking about? Husqvarna or Lars Larson?
Probably both.
Thorsten Hallman Racing, were our company. So they came down and visited and they said, hey, why don't you make a motorcycle frame and stuff out of titanium? And I said, yeah, why not?
And I think you have the titanium.
Yeah, so we went, there it is.
I brought a big picture of it.
Yeah,
oh, my God. That is from Unadilla, upstate New York.
And you know what's funny? If you didn't know motorcycles, it just looks like a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the other problem.
Yeah.
Why is that guy going by so fast? Why is he going by so fast?
Yeah, it must be unfair.
Yeah.
And did you dispel the rumor of it being brittle?
Yeah, I mean, but it was like talking to a wall.
Well, yeah.
And you know, you couldn't have bolts and nuts in with the titanium and handlebars in titanium and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And today, there is a lot of titanium.
Funny thing, huh?
I know. So it just slowed down that evolution of it.
Well,
innovation.
They couldn't stop it because racing is racing is racing.
If
peanut butter made you go faster, you're going to use peanut butter.
Yeah.
Right?
So are you credited for that kind of evolution or not?
Probably in the back room.
The bike is famous.
Yeah, the bike's very famous. So excuse
me. If I ride it and you ride it, I doubt it's you or me. It's not the bike. The bike is the tool. How well can you work the tool?
Yeah,
well, he made it famous.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so there's the real one. There's like the one in this picture.
This is the real one.
Yes, and did that survive? It's somewhere.
It's in a big. They're building a huge museum back in Chicago. The International Motocross Museum of the World, or something. And they have They have a fantastic selection of motorcycles. Mm. They have Roger DeCoster's winning world championship bike there, and Joel Robert bikes, and blah, blah, blah. And they have this bike there.
Is it going to be there forever? Or is it just on loan?
I certainly hope it will be there.
But I mean, is it on loan or is it theirs?
It's theirs. It's theirs.
Because you haven't been to the San Diego Automotive Museum, have you?
Yes, and the bike has been there. It was there for 2-some years up in Balboa Park.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The bike has been there. It was it was at the Hall of Fame Museum in Ohio with the AMA.
Gotcha.
And they were there for like 3 years, and then I got it back out here, and they wanted it. So it was like 2.5 years up in Balboa Park at the museum.
Yeah, well, we've got a new curator there that is just, he's really looking for everything he can San Diego-wise. I know you're not from San Diego, but you consider San Diego home. Yeah, no, that's...
And so then you...
And look at the difference between that bike and today's bikes.
Well, I'm wondering how many inches of travel.
Well, wheel travel there. How much
but yeah,
shock travel or wheel travel did you have on that bike, would you say?
3-4 inches.
Yeah, maybe. And what do we got today? 20, 21?
12, 14.
Oh, only 12, 14.
Yeah.
But that's a big difference.
That's huge, I can't believe, because you have raced for a span of 7 decades, you've literally seen the evolution of motocross. Do you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was watching the Supercross yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there with a glass of red grapefruit juice.
Nice, adult grapefruit juice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And looking at it and kind of...
Shaking your head.
Shaking my head. You look back. I mean, you don't have to look further back than 71.
Right.
And then you go back further and further back. And you see pictures and stuff from the old stuff. Nowadays, it's unbelievable.
What
My
that?
God, where do you get all these things
I
from?
I did research, Lars, and I might have brought a pen.
This is from...
let me see that one.
A place in Germany in 1960.
Oh, we went back a decade.
65, 66, or if it's early 67 before
you?
I came here.
Yeah. I love that. Is that the way he's so stretched out? Yeah. Lars is so stretched out on this.
Yeah, I mean, his butt is off the seat and it's over the taillight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's,
so you rode Husqvarna pretty much your whole career?
Over there. But once I came here, I had a contract with Mako. Yeah, I had a contract for 6 days, 1 year with Kawasaki.
Okay.
And my involvement in KTM or Penton, as they was called the first few years, I rode a lot of Penton and KTMs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's somebody I want to have on. We just talked yesterday, the KTM manager for the 6 day. Auntie, he's going to be coming in, which is why maybe before the end of the hour, we can have a greater appreciation of what is this six. I mean, it's literally 6 days grueling, and you sign up for it on purpose.
Yeah.
Over and
if
over
you're dumb
and
enough,
over
yeah. if you're
and
dumb
over
enough.
And yeah. over yeah. 17 times.
Is this worse than the Romaniac?
It's a lot like it, right? The Romaniacs?
Yeah, but that is an extreme. They turned that into some kind of a
torture chamber.
Circuit gymnastic.
Yeah.
This is interesting to hear Lars say this. That's extreme. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You put that in perspective for me right now, the Romaniacs.
Well, I wouldn't even try to ride that track, even if I had all day to do it.
Well, and plus you got to be able to lift the bike.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's,
So your 6 days, was it a different course each day? I honestly don't know.
In the old days, as it got further and further closer to our time, so to speak, the last 6 days was in 1992-ish or 3-ish or something that I rode. But from the first one in 1965 was my first 6 days. to there, it gradually changed because of the green people, you know.
Ah.
Air quotes with his fingers.
We got into this kind of things, and it's got. But in the beginning, it was basically every day was a new track.
Hardcore. Yeah.
And it was in a different country each year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We got a special guest from Paris Auto Speedway on the line.
I think he just won last night.
And he just won last night. Tommy Dunkel in a sprint car. So, folks, this is the one time you'll hear an interview and he'll be smiling from ear to ear. And you'll be able to hear it here on Razor Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1178.
The Answer.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. I'm telling you, the series is getting up and getting cranking. In fact, we have Tommy Dunkel. Tommy Dunkel was racing last night at Paris Auto Speedway in a sprint car. And congratulations for winning last night. You must be stoked.
Yeah, thanks, guys. No,
he's smiling.
Yeah, stoked would be an understatement for sure.
Wow. How long you been racing?
You know, I've been racing off and on since I was a kid. You know, 5-6 years old, started in go-karts and moved into mini sprints and did some stock car stuff. And then kind of took a break. You know, it was time to grow up. And
it's overrated.
Out of money and... Oh. Yeah, right. Don't do it. It's a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap. No doubt about it.
But, and then just kind of, business took over, and that was kind of first and foremost for several years and still is to this day. But, now we're just in a little bit different position, and we can go racing.
Nice.
That's fantastic. So was it one of those where you look up and you realize – holy moly, I'm in first place.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was a bit surreal to say the least, but I started on the pole. So, I mean, I had a good spot to begin with.
Okay.
It was more like on lap 5, 10, 15, it was like, oh man, I'm still out.
Exactly.
I got a shot at this deal. So,
is that when the stop breathing kicked in?
Yeah, did you breathe?
That's the hardest part I found.
You know, we finally got a caution. I say finally, but it was like, I don't know, lap 12 or 13 or something. And, I had to tell myself, all right, dude, you got to breathe, man. You can't,
And isn't that funny? Anybody you talk to that either gets in first place or top five, I'll give a top five. Did you forget to breathe? You get so amped up trying to win this silly thing. Did you forget to breathe?
I think I've told myself, stay focused, stay focused, stop thinking about them.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. So is that a 410? Was that a 410 or a 360?
No, that was one of our 360s.
Okay, all right, good. Wing or non-wing?
Non-wing.
Okay. Have you driven a wing?
Just mini sprints.
Yeah.
When I was a kid with the motorcycle engines, but
gotcha.
As far as the big cars go, just non-wing stuff.
That gets your attention, huh?
Yeah. No, these things are all business. No doubt about it.
They're animals, dude. They are animals.
You didn't happen to have Brody Roa chasing you, did you, last night? That's intimidating.
I didn't. I was fortunate enough to have him chasing me a couple weeks back at Imperial. That was definitely... but if you're going to get beat, hopefully it's by your own car, your own driver.
Your own car, yeah.
That's the only icing on the cake in that situation.
Hey, now that I know this is Paris Auto Speedway, but we have not had a chance to get out to Imperial. And I know they're just, this is their first season, I think, that they're really starting to take off. How was that experience? Is the track what you were hoping it to be? And have they really put forth, a solid effort?
Yeah, we went and ran there October of last year for their first deal. And, it was pretty good. Obviously the first time with anything, there's some bugs to work out.
Sure.
Overall it was, those guys are just giving it 110% to give us the best racetrack and the best pits and, they're doing everything they could. It was quite a bit better when we went back there. I think it was in March this year. So they're constantly improving it. And I hear they're going to put a front straightaway wall in and a fence in and stuff. So, for the next race and just continue to make it better. So, but that place is pretty fun.
Okay. So you won last night. Are you running the whole series at Paris this year?
No. I'm not going to drive. I'm kind of running like a real scattered schedule. Just kind of really depends on work. And our main focus this year is definitely with Brody Roa and, you know, chasing a championship. So that's really where a lot of our efforts are going. I'm just going to kind of get in where I fit in and run the races that make sense to me. And just continue to get seat time. I haven't been in these things a ton, so. I'm just all about logging good laps right now.
Logging good laps.
What would that racetrack do, you tell me, without inland rigging?
Oh, Paris?
Who do they not sponsor? I mean, those guys, Rayborn, the Young Guns, they sponsored him. They're sponsoring you. I'd like to get those guys on radio. I'm serious. Because they really, really step up. For the young drivers out there. And by the way, your kid looks great, by the way.
She's adorable.
Oh, thanks.
Outfit.
Well, I'd say you do have inland rigging on the radio. Inland rigging is me.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks like that's your main sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what funds all of this. I mean, we have definitely a lot of help from other people, too.
Sure.
Sanders, ALR Virtual Services, Osborne, Dunkel Farms, HBC Construction, all those guys help out as much as they can. And but inland rigging is pretty much kind of what's making our world go around right now with this deal. So,
okay, I have to ask, where's your food sponsor?
My what?
Food. You got to eat.
Oh. Yeah. my wife, I guess. Ah. Yeah, she keeps the some food in the pits. And
okay.
Brett Rowe, too. Brett's pretty good. Brody's dad, those guys always have snacks. And
well, I always, because I every time I talk to a young or old driver, first thing I ask him is, well, do you got a food sponsor? And every one of them says, no, but I sure wish I did.
Yeah.
Well, Nick Novak, he has beer and pizza.
But he can't win. He's too big.
Oh, stop.
That's cool.
It's a good suggestion.
Maybe I should focus on that.
Or at least give it a shot. What do you got to lose, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you're the only one in the family that races, or did you come from a family of racers?
There's been a few. I had some uncles that raced spec trucks back in the 90s.
Oh.
They gave me opportunity. I ran a few road course races with those guys. And then my dad had a stock car that he built for he had a stock car he built to go run Paris, and I was like 13, and we just left the muffler shop. He just had mufflers welded on it, and we're at the gas station getting some drinks, and we're just headed home. It's in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Some guy comes up and he goes, "Hey, would you want to trade a Lightning Sprint for that? I want to get into stock cars." And so I was getting out of go karts, and so my dad traded his stock car. He never got to drive it or anything. We followed the guy home, and we traded the stock car for the mini sprint. And now here we are all these years later racing sprint cars still.
And by the way, I just got a text from Scott DeLosio.
Oh, yes?
You own inland rigging.
That's what he said. He kind of said that. You have them on.
Oh, I didn't even put two and two. Hey, well, hats off to you for helping out these young kids. Come up through the ranks, because, man, I don't even know what you do. You must drive a crane, but I don't care. As long as you're helping the young kids out, that is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, no, thanks. No, it's, I was always that kid that was wished for, that kind of deal, or wished for a ride or just some help, just get to the track, a tire here or there. And so, pretty blessed that I'm in a position to be able to do that for some of these guys that could use a hand. And, even the guys that don't necessarily need just a hand to get to the racetrack, but just to be able to be involved with good teams and good people. And that's the big reason why I got involved with Brody. I mean, I've been working with him on a much smaller scale for a handful of years. And when this opportunity came up that we've got going on now, it was a no-brainer. I mean, it was a pretty big deal, as you can imagine. So, I mean, it took a little bit of thought, but I don't know many more people I would have dove in this head first with other than those guys. I mean, they're just great people, and Brody's a great driver, level-headed guy, and that's what it takes. And so
he is
fans.
And he's a great interview. He's always just happy-go-lucky, you know. And if you're gonna, and even if he beats you, you can't get angry. I mean, he beat you fair and square. I mean, come on. But yeah, right. I mean, what are you gonna say?
No, I think that's a big part of why I like working with the guys. I get a little bit high strung once in a while. Anybody that knows me knows that.
Honest.
I'll get wound up. But Brody's just cool, calm, collected. Yeah. I mean, we ran Mojave, and I got upside down Friday, and I was a little bit, you know, like we got to scramble, we got to get the thing back together, and Brody's just.
Take it easy. Cool.
Oh, nice.
Cruising around.
Yeah.
You know, and
it'll happen.
I need that. You know, I don't need anybody else that's high strung. So
I absolutely relate. Absolutely can relate to that. And I'm so glad I have the yin to my yang too out at the track.
Well, you have to. Yeah. You have to. Well, I think that's why Brittany and I do what we do. I mean, the highlight, I do 6 hours of radio. The highlight of my day is this hour. Because I get to talk to drivers like you, sponsors, owners. I mean, we get the little kids in here, and geez, they just drive
and the
crazy.
Living legends.
And are you into motorcycles at all?
A little bit.
You ever heard of a guy by the name of Lars Larson, motocross? Yeah. He's sitting right here.
He's sitting right next to me.
Oh, wow.
And he's 81 years old.
Young.
And still races.
Yes. May we all race in our 80s.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like old Wally Pankratz. I mean, I know he just retired, but same kind of deal.
Yeah.
You know what I like, Dave? I like when we interview somebody on a phone and I can hear them smiling.
What did I say before
I love
we
that.
Started?
Yep.
What
did I say? I love it when I can hear them smiling.
I did. I said, folks,
nailed it.
Get ready for this guy, and he will be smiling from the time he comes on to the time he goes off.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
awesome.
Very much so. Yeah. Just such good. And thank you for giving back to the community.
I got chills.
Brittany's
over
here.
I'm so happy for you. I got
She's got
chills.
Goosebumps on top of goosebumps.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, hey.
No, thanks a lot.
Keep the rigging, and we'll
keep
send
the rubber
this,
side down.
Yeah. He gave up on that. He gave up on rubber side down. So we'll send the show to Scott. Scott will give it to you. You can hang on to it, share it with the family.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate you having us on, and thanks for doing what you guys do for the sport as well. You know, it's nice. We got to get as many people abreast to what we're doing out here. So thanks a lot.
All right. So you better go do a little Easter egg hunt with that little one, or you're going to be in serious trouble, brother.
Oh, yeah. She's eyeballing me over here. Yeah. She's up opening candy bar. So.
Oh, there you go. All right, buddy. You take care and enjoy the rest of your week. And we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to this old motorcycle guy.
So many questions lined up
just
for Lars.
This old motorcycle guy. I don't know. Kind of reminds you of Burt Monroe.
Right?
Right? Right?
Yeah, well.
Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Because I was thinking that a little white tank top sitting right there in the middle by me.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer. I have so many
questions. Wait a minute, I got to do the commercial.
I know. I'm looking. Okay.
The owner of Inland Rigging. Give me a break.
I know. We just talked to him.
Certified Car Clinic. If you have a car that needs to be worked on, whether it's your street car, drag car, race car, sand car, they have a dyno. So check these guys out. Go to certifiedcarcare.net, certifiedcarcare.net.
So many
See how
questions.
Quick I did that?
Thank you. Okay. So many questions. Lars can't hear us.
Can't hear? Somebody turned you down?
Off air, listeners, we were just talking about towing.
How's that?
Yeah,
is that
fine.
Good?
Yeah.
Oh, look, his ears are bleeding.
Yeah, thanks for doing that to him. And you said, hey, I could tow with my Mercedes. Lars, did you really, this was one of the questions I wrote, did you really buy a Mercedes-Benz taxi to tow a trailer around to races?
1959. The first diesel with the overhead cam.
That's
and
rad.
It was a taxi, and I borrowed $1,000 from my mother. And I don't know if I ever paid her back.
Hey!
And a trailer. And those seats in those cars, you could fold down. So that was my hotel. You know, you got.
Oh, you lived in it.
Oh, yeah. In the evening, you fold it down. You put a pumped up a mattress and a sleeping bag. And you had a little, what do you call those things? You could cook.
Like a butane camp
exactly,
stove.
Exactly. So in the morning, I could
have your
cook
coffee?
My tea. I had tea. Coffee was too strong for a sportsman, you know.
Yeah, really. So, we got to be in shape.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I could eat breakfast because I brought different things with me from Sweden when
so
I traveled in Europe. And then in the evening, I was very, I ate very good every day.
Oh, yeah, no junk.
No, no. I don't think they had the McDonald's back in those days.
Yeah, that's true, too. There was no McDonald's.
Yeah, you know, it was me and Flintstone.
Yeah. So what year did you start racing?
1959.
That's for the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 00s, the teens, and now the 20s. Seven.
All right, we'll get your questions
in. Oh, so I appreciate this.
Because you know me, I'll just rattle.
Okay, I have two separate ones because I have two listeners calling.
That are waiting.
This one might get me in trouble. I even asked, are you going to get me in trouble? And he said, maybe. So I apologize.
Who's it from?
Marty Tripes.
That's why.
Oh.
You're in trouble.
I'm the one that might get, we might get. So ask him, what does fee found mean?
Fee found.
Lars,
how do you say that in English? Oh. Well, it's like, damn it.
You know? Okay.
Oh, is that, so that's what you say, fee found.
Yeah,
fee
that
found.
Would Ooh! Be from Marty Tripp.
Fee found. No, if I were to use that when I'm at school.
You won't get in trouble.
It will translate, like someone might know that, or is it more of a Lars?
Or is it a slang?
No,
is it a
real?
Slang, or is it a real word?
No, it's when you... For example, if you get you're eating in a restaurant and it's something tastes really bad. Oh. Free fun.
Oh wait,
I'm
I'll
never
have to
gonna
roll
have
it.
That again.
Say it again. Free fun.
Free fun.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Marty. Now this next question comes from a regular listener, and the regular listener doesn't know this photo that I brought in. And you do not have to limit yourself to this. No pressure. I just wanted to bring this in. It's from 1971. But the listener also asked, did you have a favorite teammate? No pressure. It doesn't have to be these teammates. But was there ever a standout teammate? Doesn't have to necessarily be best.
No, they're all my
they're all your teammates.
My idols. Torsten Hallman, four-time world champion. Mm-hmm. In motocross, and it was him and me and Brigida Berlin, the Swedish girl that worked for Husqvarna.
Oh, the secretary or paperwork.
Exactly. That there was the three of us that started.
Thor, right?
It was called Torsten Hallman Racing back in the days. After we sold it, then they renamed it to Thor.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah you came
Which
over
stands
here.
For Torsten Hallman Original Raceware.
Yeah, so they... pretty much kept it.
But all these guys, Håkan Andersson on the left side here and myself, I believe that both of us rode our first Grand Prix in England together.
Oh, really?
First time. And then I went to America and he kept on racing there and became the world champion.
Well, he had to wait till you left. Finally, he's gone.
This guy is a Yankee man. That's Gunnar Lindström.
Mm-hmm. I remember Gunnar Lindström.
Yeah, he came here and he's still here, obviously. And his son, let's see now, is not the oldest. It's the second one. He got four kids before they got a TV.
He got four kids before he got a TV.
He's
that's like my
he named one of his son Lars.
Did he really?
Yeah, and he's the team manager for Honda in the Supercross.
Today.
And motocross, yeah. So hey. And you know, that's me. That's Bengt Abe, Arne Kring. He's still working. Bengt Abe, unfortunately, passed away last year. Arne Kring has a big bicycle ski store selling motorcycles as well. Christer Hammargren and Torsten and Håkan Andersson.
So on our way here, we didn't ride here in silence. We did talk a little bit.
You did the radio
I know. I tried not to. I still haven't told you my secret. There's so many things. So I picked him. I didn't want to be late today picking him up. I said I'll be there at 2:15.
So you got there at 9.
No, well, basically, I didn't want to be late. So I could see I was rolling up almost at 2:07. So I went the street. I turned right the street before your street because my father was an enduro rider and you don't burn a check. You don't get the checks early. So I went cruising around your neighborhood and that's why I pulled up right at 2:15. I couldn't. That's for a shout out to you, Dad. I didn't want to burn the check when I was picking up Mr. Lars Larson today. I wasn't going to tell him and then I was like,
you're so funny.
Yeah. But so on our way here, though, you said you were watching the motocross last night. And where are the suites? Where are the suites?
That's something when I was sitting there watching it, you know, the evaluation of the motocross, the machinery, sport of supercross, which is totally different from regular motocross, so to speak, and how it has changed. Yeah. And among other things, you know, just looking at, you mentioned it, I bought an old taxi, a 1959 Mercedes, and a little trailer where I had my motorcycles and stuff like that. And now this huge trailer and God
knows. We've talked about that with hot tubs.
You talk about living in something.
God knows how many people, you know, that each rider has around him.
Working for them.
And, you know, I remember one time I was out for 7 weeks by myself, started in Poland and went through racing in Spain, in France, in Belgium, and blah, 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 before I hit home.
By yourself?
By myself.
Isn't that crazy?
And the only time the night before the race, I stayed in a hotel so I could shower and stuff like that.
Right. But otherwise, you stayed in the Mercedes.
Yeah.
Too bad you still didn't have that Mercedes. Wouldn't that be a trip?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That'd be in
how many
the
miles
museum.
How many miles did you put on it?
God knows. Don't tell me you're going to.
No, I don't have.
Are you done?
You got the pictures with the trailer and the Mercedes.
I saw it. I did see
it. Oh, you saw it.
I think you were topless or something. So I was like, I'm not going to make it 8x10 and hand that to Lars. You didn't have a shirt on.
So where did you get these?
I just did some research. Because you really liked it muddy, didn't you? If it was raining, and some people might fear.
That's in Houston and in that summer series on the titanium bike.
Yeah?
Yeah, winning that race.
I love it because his jersey says Lars Larson on it.
That's a good picture.
Yeah, that you. Sorry, the head got chopped off though.
Hey, you got the Marty Tripe stand up. Thing going.
That's so funny. Earlier today, when I asked, "Do you feel like you are a part of the titanium movement?" Eventually, I thought of Marty because he did the standing.
Right.
Or no, the pivoting. He moved.
Well, he also stood. Yeah. I mean, he was the first one to stand.
He was second. I think he was emulating his hero, but I can't recall. Who it is. I want to know what's on your mind with that face. Oh, my gosh. It's over.
Okay.
I didn't even get to what your toughest.